Everybody, welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined today by Mike Prisuta and Bob Labriola. When we came to you last Thursday, the Steelers did not sign LeGarrette Blount yet. That happened on Friday. And, guys, kind of what Coach Tomlin was talking about down at the owners' meetings last week, wanted a veteran presence behind Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, Missy, and the way it was looking, the running backs were starting to get signed. You know, early on in free agency, there were really only two guys that got picked off the free agency pile. But then, you know, with Maurice Jones-Drew kind of coming on and agreeing with the Oakland Raiders, that kind of left LeGarrette Blount as the last man standing in terms of the been-there-done-that kind of guy that Mike Tomlin said he was looking for. So, the Steelers got their man, and they might have got the last one available.
And they might have got a kickoff returner as part of the deal as well. I think they also got a guy who might be bringing some baggage to Pittsburgh. At least some people around the league perceive LeGarrette Blount to have some baggage in terms of how he's used and what he's willing to do and not willing to do. Might be Labs, a guy that needs to be handled a certain kind of way, but if it works out, what a hammer to compliment Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and you know, I think if you look at the process that the Steelers went through in the negotiation / courting process with LeGarrette Blount, Mike Tomlin, you know, was heavily involved in it, and so I'm sure that the discussions about, you know, what his role is going to be here were had. If LeGarrette Blount had any questions, I'm sure that Mike Tomlin answered them because, you know, the Steelers have a starting running back. His name is Le'Veon Bell. That's not going to change anytime soon, and I'm sure that was conveyed to LeGarrette Blount, and, you know, he's still here, so I'm going to hope for the best.
Mike, you mentioned the kickoff returns. The first year he did that was last year with the Patriots. Do you think that did play into the role of the Steelers wanting him to come here to Pittsburgh, or was kind of what Labs was saying, last man standing in terms of available running backs?
I think the bigger, I don't want to say issue, the bigger priority was to get that backup / compliment running back that you could count on. It works out well that he is also a kick returner. That's, you know, this is a guy that wants to be involved. Some people would say wants to be involved more than he actually should be, but this is a way to get him on the field a couple more times, get him a few more touches, and as you can see here, he's not bad at it. Labs, you were emphasizing that Le'Veon Bell is still the starting running back. One of the reasons why that is, we've seen LeGarrette Blount run the ball. We're seeing him return kicks here, which you're not going to see a lot of highlight-wise is him catching the ball out of the backfield, because it doesn't happen.
Well, and I can, you know, Le'Veon Bell has more career NFL catches already than LeGarrette Blount has in his 5 full NFL seasons. So just to use numbers to underscore the point that Mike just made, LeGarrette Blount is not a factor in the passing game, is not a good receiver. And, you know, just to touch on the kickoff return thing again, LeGarrette Blount may have someone above him on the depth chart here at the Steelers at running back. He does not have anyone above him on the depth chart at kickoff returner.
Got to line up, right?
Right. Well, and the Steelers do not have, as we saw most of last season, a kickoff return threat, shall we say.
All right, and just yesterday, the Steelers signed former first-rounder Darius Heyward-Bey, tall wide receiver, also fast guys. Somebody who I don't think is going to be in the starting lineup, Labs, but certainly adds some depth at a position that the Steelers are lacking in right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to win a roster spot, to be quite honest. Darius Heyward-Bey, former first-round draft pick, 6'2", nice size, ran a 4.3 at the combine the year he came out. And previously that year, he ran a 4.26 at the University of Maryland, where he played his college football. Darius Heyward-Bey, quite frankly, has problems holding on to the ball, or shall we put it the other way, he tends to drop it a little too often. And so, you know, this is a signing that is extremely low risk for the Steelers. There's not a lot of guaranteed money involved, not a big cap hit. And again, Darius Heyward-Bey, throw him in the mix. You know, if he wins a roster spot and earns himself a role on offense, hey, the team's going to be better off for it. But there is no definitive plan for this guy already as we're looking at 2014.
Yeah, and as you look at these highlights from his season in Indianapolis last year, we've seen him catch the ball. We've seen him run on a reverse here. None of these games are playoff games, because if you go back to the Colts dramatic come-from-the-dead win over Kansas City in the wild card round. They threw the ball 45 times that day, Lab. Darius Heyward-Bey was not targeted once. His stat line for that game, a half special teams tackle. And then the next week, Indianapolis advanced to play New England in the postseason. Darius Heyward-Bey was a healthy scratch. So the Colts apparently think they can live without him. But as you pointed out, 6'2 and it can run.
Take a shot. Low risk. Right.
Come on, seven.
You can bring 90 guys to camp.
All right, another signing to get to. Just 2 days ago, Bryce McCain is coming to the Steelers. Another kind of depth move, especially in the secondary for the Steelers. Not somebody you're going to say is like Mike Mitchell, who's coming in for a starting job, Labs.
Right, Bryce McCain, 5'9", nickel kind of situational football kind of guy, specialty. If he makes this team, it will be because he is a factor as one of the core special teams players. This signing to me was more about, again, he's Darius Heyward-Bey in the sense where he is going to have to win a roster spot. But Bryce McCain, what he has is more of a special teams background. And so I really believe that's going to be his, I won't say easiest path, but most direct path to a spot on the 53-man roster.
And some sub-package stuff, as you're seeing here with the Houston Texans. Who have had their moments in the last 5 years when he's been with them. Missy, I think it was you that was telling me that Bryce McCain was so excited about coming to Pittsburgh to visit. He tweeted a picture of his airplane
ticket. Yes.
He wants to be here. He wants to be a part of it in any role that works itself out. And I guess D-backs are like receivers, Lab. You can never have enough of them because eventually you get to a point where you play somebody and you got to play four corners at one time. You better have at least four credible / respectable ones.
Right, because, the offenses go to those multiple receiver sets. As we saw in Super Bowl 45, to me, that was the game, a big game that really drove that issue home. When the Packers put their fourth receiver out there, I think it was James Jones, the Steelers' fourth cornerback at that time was Anthony Madison. Didn't take long for Aaron Rodgers to notice that matchup and start either exploiting that directly or exploiting what the Steelers had to do to try and cover that one.
Yeah, they find that guy eventually.
Yes, they do.
All right, in other free agency news on the Steelers front, Ryan Clark has signed with the Washington Redskins. Guys, he visited with them earlier in free agency, kind of made a big deal on Twitter, then said, okay, you know what, never mind, Redskins, business as usual. I'm not going there then. Turns up a few days ago, he is with them.
Yeah, the thing with free agency and these guys a lot of times is, Missy, especially with starting players, they perceive that there's going to be a value out there for them that they believe is what they are worth. And in actuality, true market value is what the market will pay you. And, had Ryan Clark not taken things to Twitter and made them public, he might have been able to go to the Redskins kind of, checked out his options and then went back. But this kind of indicates to me that the original trip, the Redskins did not offer Ryan Clark what he thought he was worth. Then he found out that no one was going to offer him what he thought he was worth. And then he went back to the Redskins for what they were willing to give him.
All right. You can still make it to Bristol, Connecticut from the D.C. area on the off day, right?
You might be able to fly direct there.
Cause I think they have a shuttle from D.C. to New York.
You can't fly anywhere direct from Pittsburgh anymore.
All right. Well, speaking of free agency, let's kind of go around the AFC North, just taking a look at what teams have done so far in free agency. We are going to go in alphabetical order because that will make Labs happy. So we'll start with the Ravens, kind of taking a look at the screen. This one, not so bad, not a ton of names, but we're breaking it down by guys who were re-signed, new arrivals from other teams, lost or cut, and guys still on the market.
Yeah, when you look at this list, to me, it kind of stands out a little bit. A lot of people are making the point, and rightfully so, that there are a lot of changes coming on the Steelers' defense. Well, there are four names on this list that indicate that there are going to be a lot of changes for the Ravens' defense as well. Corey Graham had five starts last year as their nickel. He had 12 passes defense and four interceptions. He's now in Buffalo. Safety James Ahedigbo started 16 games. He's now in Detroit. Arthur Jones had 13 starts last year. He's now in Indianapolis. And Jameel McClain has been a full-time starter for the Ravens at inside linebacker since 2000. 2010. He is now with the New York Football Giants. So that is four players who played significant defensive snaps for the Baltimore Ravens last year who will not be with them moving forward.
Yeah, and they're all four pretty good football players. Not great, but pretty good. Played a lot of snaps, played a lot of winning snaps. Guys that were involved in a Super Bowl team not long ago, but as significant as that is, and I see that as significant, I looked at that list, the name that jumps out to me, Steve Smith. Has Baltimore ever gone out and sought an offensive face of the franchise type player? And Steve Smith probably not going to be the guy he was for the Ravens as he was most of his years in Carolina, but the competitiveness, the clutch play, and the drive, and just the way he goes about it, determined hockey is battle level. And I think Baltimore's offense has been lacking that. That's been a defensive-driven kind of culture for a long time down there. It started to change a little bit with the emergence of Joe Flacco into a reluctant franchise quarterback. But I think Steve Smith still has at least 1 year left to make plays for Baltimore, maybe some big ones.
Well, maybe. I mean, but I think Baltimore would have been better off keeping Anquan Boldin instead of letting – because I think Boldin is a better player today than Steve Smith is, and I would compare the Ravens' acquisition of him at the same kind of franchise, face of the franchise kind of offensive player. Anquan Boldin, to me, is a big-time receiver. The Steve Smith thing, this is going to be very interesting to me because I was told once by someone in the league that with these free agents, if you get a guy who knows nothing but one organization, which Steve Smith does, when he goes to a new team, his head's still with the old team till about Thanksgiving. So Steve Smith, I mean, he's going to be one of those guys who, whether he does it verbally or not, everything in his head, he's going to be comparing it to how we did things in Carolina. And I just don't know how quickly that's going to translate for him into big production for the Ravens. Again, as I said, if I were the Ravens, I would have rather stuck with Anquan Boldin. I think he's a better player now. But as a someone who hates the Ravens, yeah, I'm glad they are where they are.
No. If I'm Joe Flacco, I pull him aside. Hey, Steve, it's third down. We need 6 yards. Get me seven. I'll find you.
You know,
simplify it a little.
Okay. I mean, Anquan Boldin wasn't bad at that either.
All right, Mike, what else? The other one on that list, of course, Eugene Monroe, the Ravens were able to keep him.
Yeah, not that he's the greatest tackle that's ever played, but the blind side, Michael Orr, has moved on. And Lab, correct me if I'm wrong, losing both of your starting offensive tackles at the same time is potentially problematic.
Yes.
They have some issues up front, but at least they have some pieces that they're relatively sure of what they can do and where they can line up.
Yeah, and I think what we saw there is the Ravens made a decision. It was an either-or thing because both of them were going to be big-money kind of players. They decided on Eugene Monroe. He can play left tackle. They've tried Michael Orr at left tackle in previous seasons. That never worked out very well. So I think that, you know, the Ravens kind of assessed that. As you mentioned, Mike, you don't want to lose them both. They made a decision which one they wanted to have more, and they threw some serious money at Eugene Monroe.
Do you think if the movie had been better, they'd keep the blinds? Probably not.
Sandra Bullock was great in that movie.
Sandra Bullock was great in any movie.
All right, back to football. Let's take a look at Cincinnati now and seeing what they have done so far in free agency. Not a lot of names on this one as well, but as I think everybody knows, Jason Campbell staying in the AFC North, just different team this time.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Bengals depth chart at quarterback, Andy Dalton, Josh Johnson, and Zach Robinson, were the Bengals' three quarterbacks last year.
So Zach Valentine used to play for the Steelers, right?
Yeah.
In the 70s?
In the 70s, linebacker.
That's what I thought.
It's Zach Robinson. So I think that, you know, the Bengals in some way are kind of reacting maybe to the fact that at the end of Andy Dalton's third season, he has still yet to win a playoff game. In those playoff games, he's thrown six interceptions against one touchdown pass. Not that they are going to replace Andy Dalton with Jason Campbell, but I think that the Bengals are looking to remake the depth chart at quarterback a little bit, maybe have someone there who they could play if they had to. You know, I don't think they really wanted to play either Josh Johnson or Zach Robinson. So not that they're bringing someone in to compete with Andy Dalton, but they're kind of bringing in somebody to compete with Andy Dalton, a veteran presence. And as they decide, you know, what they want to do with him as he approaches the end of his rookie contract.
And on the bright side for Jason Campbell, he doesn't have to get new plates for the vehicle.
Right.
Because he's still in the great state of Ohio. But if we could flip back to that Bengal list for just a second, there's a name that jumped out to me as well. And if you look at the Bengals. The James Harrison gone and the Michael Johnson gone. Not that Harrison was an all-pro or anything for the Bengals, but upon his departure, Marvin Lewis said, "I wish I'd have got him on the field more." I don't know if that was just a kind of a parting gift to a guy who's had a really good NFL career or if Marvin sincerely regretted that. But the Michael Johnson loss, Labs, that's a defense that's been kind of beating its chest from the line out. And a significant departure. Not as much talent, not as much depth all of a sudden on that Bengals defensive line, which has been the strength of that Bengals defense.
Yeah, another one worth mentioning to me is Andrew Hawkins. You know, we were talking earlier about needing four cornerbacks because the other team has four good receivers. He was the fourth guy for the Bengals. Difficult guy to deal with in the middle of the field. The Bengals lost him on a restricted free agent tender that they declined to match because Andrew Hawkins was a free agent. They didn't even get any draft pick compensation for that. He moves on to the Cleveland Browns.
All right, speaking of the Cleveland Browns, let's take a look at their full screen, kind of seeing what they have been up to. Not a lot of names, but they do have a little bit more on the loss cut and new arrivals, obviously, during this free agency period.
Yeah, this is, to me, is emblematic of a new coach. They have the Browns, another new coach, new regime, and the coach comes in and he wants his people or, you know, a lot of times the previous coach's people, just aren't his. Mike Pettine, the new coach, worked for Rex Ryan, both with the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Football Jets. He was the defensive coordinator most recently with the Buffalo Bills. He is a 3-4 defensive guy. So when you look at some of the lost for the Browns, DeQuell Jackson, to me, sticks out right away. Kind of more of a middle linebacker 4-3 guy than an inside linebacker because of his size. He's a little bit smaller. And the other thing that stands out to me here is, you know, Mike Pettine and the Browns did some trading. Dante Whitner for T.J. Ward, as an example. Carlos Dansby for DeQuell Jackson as well. We'll see if those trades are upgrades or not.
Yeah, they made the move they had to make in getting Alex Mack back. Alex Mack is their best offensive lineman. No disrespect to Joe Thomas, but I think Alex Mack's a better player right now. And like Joe Thomas, Alex Mack has never missed a snap for Cleveland. So you have to have him to build your offensive line around. You mentioned Whitner, Labs. Replacing Ward, you got to have a really good safety if you're going to be a really good defense. That Cleveland defense was pretty good at times last season, fell off toward the end of the year. But Whitner gives them a chance to at least recapture where they were around midseason. And then the one that you don't know, but man, if this works out, it works out. Ben Tate coming over from the Houston Texans, where he was the complement to Arian Foster, and he's put up some ridiculous numbers. He's not been the guy. We'll see if he can be the guy in Cleveland. The last time the Steelers played Cleveland, the guy was one of Le'Veon Bell's old buddies at Michigan State, Edwin Baker, who I think is about 5'10 if he's standing on a couple of Cleveland phone books. This guy has a chance to be the kind of here-I-am feature back that the Browns have lacked for a long time.
One other thing with the Browns, cutting both Jason Campbell and Brandon Weeden means to me they are going to be looking for quarterbacks in the draft.
You think?
They have Brian Hoyer. I don't know that. Brian Hoyer coming off the ACL surgery and really nothing else. So I think that Brian Hoyer can expect a quarterback to be picked by the Cleveland Browns. I don't know. I'm not even going to try and predict what they will do because when they have had opportunities to pick franchise quarterbacks in the first round, they have not. And then when there were no franchise quarterbacks to pick in the first round, they traded up and tried to do it anyway, Brady Quinn, Brandon Weeden. So
I think these guys are available this year somewhere in between.
Well,
I don't know if there's a Big Ben in there, but I think they're better than Brady Quinn.
Can't be any worse.
Well, don't you find it interesting, though, that a lot of the reports coming out of some of the pro days, the Browns just aren't there?
Yeah, they're doing their own. They're going to work these guys out, at least the guys they're interested in. They're going to do it on their own. And in the meantime, it does make for an intriguing, what are they going to do? They didn't go watch Johnny Football with everybody else.
Well, and the thing that I like about them doing their own is pro days are so scripted. I mean, and the guys, you know, he is working, the quarterback is working through a specific set of pass routes in a specific order with specific receivers for a few weeks, let's say. You bring him to your place to work out. Okay, now you don't know what I'm going to ask you to throw next. You know, we're in your pro day, you knew that after you threw the three dig routes, then you had to throw the three long outs. Well, I might do it different. And how do you react? Because a football game is more like the Browns' individual workout might be. So
you could even do that John Gruden thing if you want and make him draw on the dry erase board and ask him about their brother.
Hey, maybe they should bring Gruden in to conduct the workout because based on what they've been doing in the past, I don't know, I'd try and change that up.
All right, last but not least, let's take a look at the Steelers free agency moves. And, yes, there are a ton of names on this one. Not necessarily a bad thing, though, guys, but we already went through some of them, of the most recent ones, of new arrivals and different things like that. But which one stands out to you, I think, the most at this point, Mike?
I think Mike Mitchell, just because getting back to the point I made about Cleveland, you need really good safety play to be a really good defense. The Steelers did not get really good safety play last year. Quite frankly, they didn't get really good safety play from either one of their safeties. I'm much more convinced that Troy Polamalu, A, had some extraneous factors that affected his game last season, particularly where he was playing and what he was asked to do. But, B, I think he's got bounce-back great football in him. I don't think Ryan Clark does. The Redskins disagree with me, but we'll see who's right. In the meantime, you needed somebody to come in there and play that position. So Mike Mitchell, for the Steelers' sake, hopefully is that guy.
Yeah, what stood out for me, you know, when you look at that list again, is was the Steelers' ability to maintain the offensive line depth that they seemed to develop last year. You know, re-signing Guy Wimper and Cody Wallace gives the Steelers eight guys with NFL starting experience on their depth chart at offensive line, and I don't really know that any team has that. Now, people could say what they want about Guy Wimper, but to me, I'm just going to judge him on what I saw last year in Pittsburgh. And he was not in any way a detriment to the Steelers when he was put into the game. Cody Wallace thrown in at center.
Same deal, right?
He started four games at center for the Steelers. They were 3-1 in those games. So I really like the group that the Steelers have assembled for a new offensive line coach, Mike Munchak. And I think it's one of the underrated good things that have happened so far in this Steelers offseason.
I was a little surprised that Jericho Cotchery wound up elsewhere. I don't think trading Lance Moore for Jericho Cotchery makes you better. That's kind of the way it worked out. And what was that line on the far right still out there? Still in limbo?
There's a name still on the market.
There's a name still on the market that I wouldn't mind seeing coming back here either. So that would be the third one down the list, Brett Kiesel. Don't know if that's possible, likely not going to happen or what have you, but the defensive line, despite the activity in free agency with Cam Thomas, is not overflowing with quality players, and I also think Brett Kiesel has been part of the core of this team, quality guy, leadership guy. I think he still has some football left in him. We'll see.
I do not disagree with any of that, and, you know, there is some room on the defensive line depth chart for more people. And, you know, we'll have to – I believe now –
should we give one of these a little mojo?
It's to where we
that's
are.
That's not allowed.
Well, no, you can't go down on a knee.
You can't go down on your knee, no.
Okay, you're standing. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
But
if I go down on a knee, it's going to take me 10 minutes to get up.
So stay standing.
But, I mean, you know, the situation along the defensive line and with the Steelers' salary cap situation right now, I think that any more of those kind of moves are going to be after the draft, after June 1st. When the Lamar Woodley money kicks in.
Well, as long as he gets here by September, I think he knows the drill.
I think he knows the drill. Well, and what would we do when the day the players report if Brett Kiesel isn't there? I mean, what
showing
would
up
the,
on a horse or a backhoe.
What would the TV stations in Pittsburgh have for video for the 6 o'clock?
Somebody, you know, Harrison's not here with the smart car.
Right.
Somebody's got to pick that slack up.
Maybe it's you.
No, it's definitely not me.
All right, that is going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live at 4. For Bob and Mike and Missy, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Thursday at 4.